This is news from Radio EcoShock. Mexico City is lobbying the Guinness World Book of Records to lose the title of most polluted major city on Earth. It may still be the most dangerous city for children's health, according to the United Nations, but the air in Mexico's capital is clearing up, a little. It is the world's second most populous city on Earth, following only Tokyo. No one knows for sure how many people live in Mexico City, but most agree it holds more than 20 million, down in a bowl surrounded by mountains. The smog hit absolute crisis levels back in 1991. Back then, every day but one was declared a health emergency due to the smog. Street vendors with tanks were selling a quick breath of oxygen to passers-by who could afford it. Now there are about 140 days a year when tourists and residents have a hope of seeing the nearby mountains. The government ordered the dirtiest industries out of town and improved the fuel quality from the national oil company, Pemex. Spills and vapor releases at gas stations were reduced. The government tried a little controlled injection of free electrical charges into the air using large antennas. Last year, they provided smog-detecting vests to a contingent of old people to see what they were breathing. More than 5 million gallons of gas and diesel are burned in the city daily, shoving 53,000 metric tons of smoggy gas into the air on a good day. But the really big change is something other threatened cities have yet to attempt. The worst old stinkers were ordered off the streets, of course. And private vehicles were banned for one day a week. Imagine, a day without cars. Later, the city tried various measures, including a system of alternating days, where odd and even-numbered license plates were allowed on the roads or not. Parents and children were dying. Something had to be done. And reducing cars is what actually works to clear the skies enough for continued living. The U.S. State Department still advises the elderly and people with respiratory problems to avoid Mexico City. But with slightly clearer skies, city officials are trying to point the Guinness records somewhere else, since the book is based on 1998 statistics. Who will be the world's smoggiest city now? The challenge is smothering most cities of Latin America. The World Health Organization says 100 million Latin Americans have health problems due to polluted air. Sao Paulo's 5 million vehicles form into a smoggy parking lot every day, with an average commute of 2 hours, even for short distances. The average driving speed in traffic? 9 miles an hour. It's so bad, the rich use private helicopters. Sao Paulo has the second largest fleet of private helicopters in the world, so traffic is getting heavy even in the sky. Sao Paulo also has a system requiring cars to stay off the roads based on the license plate number. The only way around it, the joke goes, is to buy a car for every day of the week. So those not rich enough to afford helicopters have plenty of cars in the driveway. You don't have to go to developing countries to get asthma for your baby or lose your own life prematurely. In central Canada, the Ontario Medical Association warns that 5,800 residents, mostly around the provincial capital of Toronto, will die early due to serious smog problems there. Last year, Ontario had only 14 smog alert days. This year, in record heat and air thick enough to cut with a knife, there have been a record 32 smog advisory days, and that's before the real summer starts. There were 5 smog alerts in February. Unheard of. Emergency wards are expecting about 60,000 visits from people with breathing troubles. More than 16,000 will be admitted to hospital, and, as we say, 5,800 will die prematurely due to smog. Doctors say the damage to lungs from smog accumulated over time cannot be cured. It's a bad time for the premier there, Dalton McGuinty, to renege on promises made during his election to close all the province's coal-fired plants by 2007. Now McGuinty tells panting residents the largest, the Nanticoke Generating Station, will stay in operation at least until 2009. Of course, there's no talk of limiting cars at all. Torontonians pile into their cars, crank up their air conditioners inside, adding to both fuel use and the heat outside, and listen to the weather forecast, another 35 degrees centigrade scorcher. There's a mini exodus of families and workers out of the Toronto area just to find breathable air. The cost to the economy is estimated at over $1 billion a year. While struggling to make Kyoto emission reduction goals, Canada is blaming the killer smog on the U.S. Canadian government reports say that more than half the pollution inhaled by the 12 million people in Ontario comes from plants in Ohio and Michigan. The United States has not signed the Kyoto Agreement, and the Bush government shows no signs of limiting coal plants or any other big polluters. Canadians love to blame the Americans, but a study by the Commission for the Environmental Cooperation of North America shows Ontario is the second largest industrial waste polluter in North America, second only to George Bush's dumping ground of Texas. And Toronto has the worst air of any city in Canada. Both sides of the border agree on one thing. Cars are sacrosanct. The bigger the gas guzzler, the better. It's a duel to the death, and the weapons of choice are smokestacks and tailpipes. The losers? Everybody and everything that breathes. This has been news from Radio EcoShock at www.ecoshock.org.